Hey, everybody. Good afternoon. This is Executive Assistant Navrami, and you are tuned in to That's Life with Miriam Al-Wallach is out today, so I'm going to be sitting in for her, a guest hosting, and after all the little bit of thought and time that I put into this show, she will be proud when she listens to the archive and realizes that there were only a few little gaffes instead of any major gaffes. That's right. So as you've been hearing, if you've been tuned in to the Thursday Live Lunch, you know that today's show is going to be focused on the holiday of Shavuos. That's right. So we're going to have a special guest a little bit later today. And we are also going to have some special music in honor of the holiday of Shavuos. And hopefully it will be a great time. And so we're going to start off right now with a song off of Schlock Rock's To Unite All Jews. It's a song entitled All Night Long. And you are tuned into That's Life here on the Nachum Segal Network.
On Vav Sivan, but first there is work to be done. 3 days of preparation. 49 days from Passover we count. Then the nation gathers round the mount and they say, Naseh v'nishma, we'll do all the mitzvahs. Come on, let's learn some more. And they say, Naseh v'nishma, we'll do all the mitzvahs. Come on, let's learn some more. All night long.
All night. All night.
All night long.
All night. All night.
All night long.
All night. All night.
Moshe held the tablets high. After 40 days on Har Sinai, there was thunder and lightning in the sky. And then we heard God say, all of Bnei Yisrael, every single soul, received the Torah and in one call, they all said, Naseh v'nishma, we'll do all the mitzvahs. Come on, let's learn some more.
Yeah!
That's right. That is Schlock Rock off of Schlock Rock 3, To Unite All Jews. This is Executive Assistant of Rumi. This is not Miriam Wallach with a cold. That's right. I am sitting in for Miriam today, and hopefully everyone will enjoy today's show. We're going to have plenty of more Shavua selections, and in just a little while, we're going to have Rabbi Yossi Zakatinsky of Hashivenu joining us to discuss the holiday of Shavua. So we're going to get to some regular business now here at That's Life. Want to make sure that we keep things as regular as possible. So if I can just find out here where it is that it was sent to me, and we'll be able to go through. All right, well, before we get to today's holidays, which we will get to shortly, as intern Yael Lassen went to the hard work of getting us today's holidays. So we will have to get to that as well. That's what happens when you got tons of emails. Here we go, holidays for That's Life. All righty. And we have, I'm just going to do a few of them, okay? The first one is National Moscato Day, all right? So I'm assuming that means the grapes and the wine, which, as we all know, one of the favorite wines of the religious Jewish community is the blue Moscato wine. So cheers to all of you out there. Make sure to go home and get some and share some with friends. We also have Occupational Safety and Health Professionals Day. So cheers to all of you. Maybe you can, everyone can raise a glass of their Moscato to the Occupational Safety and Health Professionals out there. I believe it's also, it's School Nurse Day today, but I believe it's also General Nurses, Nurses Week. A friend of mine posted on Facebook. So, kol hakavod to, everyone in these fields that are helping people on a daily basis, making sure they are healthy, making sure they are well, and going through a lot of things that many of us would find unpleasant, yet still they have the ability to do it. And so, yeah, we say congratulations to you on this great honor of having a day and a week for yourselves. And now we're going to get to our Miriam's favorite Miriam's favorite segment. Hold on one second. I believe we have a guest here on today's Life.
A guest.
Well, we'll have another one a little bit later. Of course, we are talking about Duke, and he is here to join us as we are now on Cicada Watch, and so he is going to be our Cicada correspondent, letting us know what's going to be happening, because within a few... Well, he'll tell us all the details as soon as we crack through this...
You have to make sure they hear the crinkle, like, you know, bring it up to the microphone. There we go.
There we go. Sorry about that. This is my first time as being Miriam, so it took her many years to get where she is, and I just have, like, one day. So here we go to...
Drumroll, please.
Oh my goodness, this is this is rigged. It says Haman wanted to kill all the Jews from everywhere. This is not a what is this?
Is
the answer
like
is Persia. What someone exchanged our regularly scheduled our regularly scheduled fortune cookies for Jewish fortune cookies. And there we go. There you have it, people. You see? You try to do something, and then sometimes the fortune cookie just, you know, that's the way the fortune cookie crumbles. That's right.
Did you pull something out of your Mishlach Manos that we didn't
I
know
found
about?
Over there. I found the box of fortune cookies over there, and there you go.
Seriously, seriously.
As far as strange stories, I was supposed to be in early yesterday. As many of you know, I travel in by the Megabus here to New York, and I was supposed to be in with plenty of time to get whatever it was done. And apparently there was somebody complaining that the bus was too hot on the first floor. And rather than ask the person to go to the second floor, the bus driver told us all that the air conditioning wasn't working, pulled over to the side of the road and called a new bus, and we got to New York 2 hours later than planned. So I'm not going to say anything bad about Megabus because I use them all the time, but if you have alternatives, I would say it wouldn't be necessarily a bad thing to look into those alternatives. Oh, excellent. Food is here.
I have one question about that whole story. Don't you think, now that everyone's sitting there with no air conditioning, don't you think it's hotter and it kind of counts?
We can hear that. We can hear the crinkling. What'd you say? I'll tell you. The problem was is that people were complaining that even when the bus was stopped, the people on the bottom floor of the bus didn't get off the bus. They stayed in there even though the bus was off. But anyway, so now that you're here, David, and we are on Cicada Watch, please let us know in a few short minutes everything that we'll need to know within the coming weeks.
Yes, I am your cicada expert. Thank you for having me on. Basically, we the cicadas come up within these 2 months, April, May, and possibly as late as June. The reason this is because the ground temperature has to get to exactly 64 degrees. So if it's too cold, they won't come out. If it's too hot, they won't come out. So exactly 64. They all come out. The scientists have a name for it. It's called The Brood 2. Very, like, horror movie-ish. And billions and billions of them come out. The reason why billions and billions of them come out, because animals, rodents, foxes, they all eat them. As they have no natural ability to defend themselves, they pretty much are food for the taking. So the reason there's so many of them come out that it does not actually affect the population, and they are still able to reproduce.
Well, I was watching, there was a news report about it, and somebody came on the air, this expert in cicadas, and said that people enjoy eating them, and in various different ways, cooking them, covering them with chocolate, whatever it is, and he says he just likes to eat them plain because they have like a buttery texture, and they taste kind of nutty and whatever, and at that point, I was very happy that we are not able to, I mean, I don't know if that is a kosher brand of locust or not, or whatever the story is, but I was very happy that our diet is somewhat limited.
So I heard they taste like almonds.
Oh, very nice.
And you're supposed to eat them before the shell hardens. Otherwise, wow. It makes it a bitter taste.
Okay, well, that was a good way to start off. And we are going to go to a song now off of... Well, thank you very much, David. And we hope to actually hear from you in the coming weeks during our Cicada Watch 2013.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And so now we're going to go to Shlomi Dax off of his Ke'ish Echad B'Lev Echad, the title track, in honor of the fact that we say that at the time of Shavuos, at the time that we were getting the Torah, Matan Torah, that is what the nation was. Like one person with one heart. And that will be a great way to start off. And as soon as that's done, we will be welcoming Rabbi Yossi Zakatinsky from Hashivenu. So stay tuned. You are tuned into That's Life with Executive Assistant Avrami here live at NachumSiegel.com.
Sham Yisrael neged ha'har, ohi kulanu ke'echad, echad. Ta'yichan Sham Yisrael neged ha'har, ohi kulanu ke'echad. Ta'yichan Sham Yisrael neged ha'har, ohi kulanu ke'echad, echad. Ta'yichan Sham Yisrael neged ha'har, ohi kulanu. Kulanu ke'echad, ke'ish echad, oyoy b'leib echad, v'yichan Sham Yisrael neged ha'har. Ke'ish echad, oyoy b'leib echad, kulam ke'echad, hareifim ze lo ze ke'ish echad, oyoy b'leib echad, v'yichan Sham Yisrael neged ha'har. Ke'ish echad. Kulam ke'echad, I'm going to be rash,
Lord. Oy, oy, bin leng en chor. Ay, chan shom Yisrael neged hor. Ke ish echor. Oy, oy, bin leng en chor. Kulam, kulam neke echor. Haray, zel lo zeche ish echor. Oy, oy, bin leng echor. Ay, chan shom Yisrael neged hor. Ke ish echor.
All right, that was Shlemmy Dax with the title track off of his Ke'ish Echad Belev Echad CD, a great lively way to start this next conversation that we are going to have. And in case anyone who has just tuned in, no, this is not Miriam Wallach with a cold. This is Executive Assistant Avrami, and I will stop making that joke for the rest of the show. But I'm sitting in for the general manager today, and we are going to be focusing on the upcoming holiday of Shavuos. That's right. So I called a friend of mine who I had a handful of years learning with and spending time with, and thought he would be a very good person to talk to. His name is Rabbi Yossi Zakatinsky, and he is affiliated with Hashivenu, which is an organization based in Queens, and he will be able to tell us more about that, as well as help us get some more perspective and better feel for the upcoming holiday of Shavuos. Rabbi Yossi, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Rami. How are you?
I am doing very well. Welcome to the show. Welcome to That's Life here at the Nachum Segal Network.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Ah, pleasure. So how'd you like the tune? It was okay?
That was beautiful.
It was really just a total accident that I found that this morning while I was working here. And I was like, yeah, that'll have to do. So,
you guys make good choices, you know?
Well, thank you very much. It was like, I don't think that we ever thought that all the different ways that we would learn together or hang out or whatever, that it would be like in this kind of format, in this kind of forum. So it's nice to keep things in a relationship a little bit spicy, a little bit different, you know?
That's a fun way of running the world, you know?
Yeah, thank God. So what I would like to do, because obviously there's a number of topics and a number of ways that we can go about this. So I was thinking maybe you could start off with just a couple of the basics about Shavuos and what we will be encountering coming up this Wednesday. No, it's Tuesday evening.
Tuesday.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, 100%. It'll be my pleasure. You know, so the truth is, as we all know, the Yom Tov of Shavuos is the Jewish holiday on which we, the Jewish people collectively, receive the Torah in Har Sinai and Mount Sinai. And that's truly when we became the chosen people. That's when we became, you know, the people that were designated to be the nation on earth to reveal Hashem's glory and to bring honor and kedusha and power and holiness of Hashem's name into the world. That's what Shavuos is about. You know, and truth is, just like any other holiday that we celebrate, we're not just commemorating an old historic event that once upon a time took place. The truth is, we're told that every single year, that experience that we went through all those years back on Mount Sinai, that happens again every single year. So every single year, coming this year, you know, Tuesday night, throughout the Yom Tov of Shavuos, Hashem is going to once again this new year re-give us the Torah and rededicate ourselves and redesignate us as the chosen people. So it's a very, very, very significant and special time. And, you know, it's very, very powerful. It's very powerful to use that time to rededicate our commitment to Yiddishkeit, to commitment to each other, to Hashem, and to become who we can and who we should become. It's a very powerful time. But that's what the Yom Tov of Shavuos is about, you know? And, you know, in a halachic sense, the Yom Tov of Shavuos is similar to Pesach and Sukkot and so on, where there's, you know, the regular rules of Yom Tov apply, you know? So it means avoiding work and so on and so on and so on and so forth. You know, and again, like any other Yom Tov, one is allowed to cook, you know, things for food, one is allowed to do. But, yeah, the Yom Tov applies both days.
So what are some of the things that you can tell us? I guess there's only a couple of things, as opposed to many of the other holidays where there's a lot to do. It seems like the holiday of Shavuos, doesn't have that many, but maybe you can just go over, a couple of the customs, that we have, as well as, I guess maybe, I don't know if the right word is the significance of them or how we, you know what I'm saying?
100%. It'll be my pleasure. There are a few customs that are unique to Shavuos that we don't have any other holiday. You know, for example, one very famous custom is that for Jewish men to stay up all night, the first night of Shavuos, and study Torah. Again, each one according to his level. Some people, whether it be Chumash or Mishnah, Gemara, you know, whatever area of Torah specifically speaks to the person, but there is a custom of staying up all night. One of the reasons behind that, and the simple reason behind it that's given is that, interestingly enough, the first, when we receive the Torah, there is such a concept, Chazal, the rabbis do record that the Jewish people collectively overslept, like many of us often do. We overslept and Hashem had to come wake us up. So sort of to atone for that failure that we committed that first year of receiving the Torah. So every single year, not only do we not oversleep, we actually stay up all night in anticipation for the morning when we, again, like I said, sort of re-receive the Torah every year. So that's one reason we stay up all night.
So to that point, though, I noticed for myself, and I see in other people as well, many times people will make the effort to stay up all night, but then when it comes to the davening in the morning, they are nodding off, not being as into it as they can, or whatever it is, because it's difficult after staying up for a whole night. So is it better when we're approaching this Yom Tov, which one of those two things takes precedent? Like if you know, if you stay up all night and learn, it'll be a great learning, but your davening will be lacking quite a bit, or to either not stay up or just stay up a little, but your davening, if that will make the difference and your davening and the next day will be strong, what's the precedence here?
So it's a very good question, you know, and the truth is, you know, it is a difficult balance because on the one hand, we know davening is exceedingly important, and, you know, not only is davening important, Shmoneh Esrei, but even Kriya Shema, which is biblical, those are very, very important mitzvahs. On the other hand, the custom that the Jewish people have of staying up all night is an extremely significant one. So there is a balance that one has to make, and the truth is you're right. Very often a person, by being too strict about the custom of staying up all night, they neglect the mitzvah of davening. So one has to make such a balance, you know. The truth is that the best thing is if a person knows himself that if he stays up literally all night long, he's not going to be able to daven with the proper intention, with the proper focus, then the best thing for that individual person might be to stay up as long as he possibly can, and then to take a little nap, and to wake up, you know, as early as he possibly can be in order to receive the Torah again in the morning during davening. So, but again, that is a difficult balance to make. But the truth is one should know that even if they stay up all night and learn to the best of their ability, and it turns out that during davening they're dozing off and they're nodding away, you know, Hashem takes a lot of pleasure in that. You know, very often we think that the only davening that Hashem pays attention to and Hashem cares about are the ones that we put in a lot of energy and we're crying and, you know, and chuckling very hard and really screaming. But the truth is, if it's done in the proper way, even a short davening and even a davening where a person is finding it very, very difficult to focus, if he tries hard, he puts in all of his effort, Hashem might pay more close attention to that davening than a davening that a person, another davening where you might be able to have the energy, but you're not pushing yourself maybe as hard as you possibly can be. So despite the fact that you know, davening sometimes feels more difficult this morning, that does not necessarily mean at all that it's less significant in the eyes of Hashem. So that's something that we definitely have to bear in mind.
Understood. So what was the next major custom that you were going to discuss?
Yeah, so there's another custom that we have from the Jewish people that, again, it's another beautiful custom, to eat milchiks on Shavuos. You know, it's also one of those things that many people don't exactly know the reason behind it, but there is such a thing to eat milchik. There's a number of reasons actually given. One reason that's recorded is very practical. When we first received the Torah and we were given the mitzvah of kashrus, of eating only kosher food, so the Jewish people found themselves in a difficult situation, you know, because their entire kitchens that they've been having until now ended up being not kosher, right? And all the meat that they've slaughtered until then were not slaughtered in the halachic proper fashion, and therefore they were not kosher. So the easiest, the quickest meal that one could make without much preparation is going to be milchik, because milk is kosher, cheese is kosher, there's not much you could do about that, and therefore it's very easy to prepare. And therefore, the first meal sort of that the Jewish people had on Shavuos, right, when we received the Torah, was milchik. And therefore, to commemorate that, the Jewish people have this custom of eating milchik every single year on Shavuos. So it is that's another significant custom that we have.
So let's get controversial for a minute.
Please.
Because this is like, we're live here, and I think it's we can maybe just stir the pot a little bit. There are people that are adamant about it's Shavuos, every single meal, melech eggs. And then there are other people that are adamant, it's Yom Tov, we have to have flesh eggs. Because, right. So, I don't know, where are you on that spectrum?
But the truth is, it's like this, you know, Jewish people are passionate people. We care about Hashem, we care about the mitzvahs, so, you know, people feel strongly about their opinions, what Hashem wants from them, and that's coming from a good place. But the truth is, when it comes to the custom of eating milchik, as, you know, and the question is how many meals should be milchik, or, you know, how many meals should be fleshik, and so on, there are different customs, and every community should follow their personal, you know, history and their personal custom, and that's a good thing. For example, I know many people have a custom, and this is actually the way it's recorded in Shulchan Aruch, is to have first a milchik meal, and then to go from the milchik to fleshik. You clear the table, obviously, you wash your mouth out, and you eat some crackers or something parv like that, and then you could go into the fleshik meal. So that is something that many people do, and that's the way it's recorded in Shulchan Aruch. But as I said, there are different customs and there are different ways of doing it. As long as a person is doing it for the right reasons, then you're not, you know, it's good for us to stir the pot, but as long as people right. aren't, you're throwing it into, you know, stirring the pot with other people, that's always something that's good. You know, right. Hashem likes it.
Right. So I was hoping maybe next we could talk a little bit about the connection. Obviously, I mean, aside from the counting of the Omer, which connects them, but if there's maybe other connections between the upcoming Yom Tov of Shavuos and the most recent holiday, Yom Tov of Pesach.
Yeah, no, 100%. There's a very, very, very strong connection between the two. You know, it's a fascinating thing. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, which is the book of Jewish law, so, you know, usually every area, every festival has its own designated section. There's the halachas of Pesach in the Pesach section. There's the halachas of Sukkot in the Sukkot section. It's what's peculiar about the Shulchan Aruch is that he does not make a specific section for Shavuos. In fact, the halachas of Shavuos are actually incorporated into the section talking about Pesach. So it's very interesting. We see from there, like you pointed out, that Pesach and Shavuos are not two separate holidays that just you happen to go from one to the other. We see that there is a very strong connection between the two. That sort of we start the process on Pesach and it culminates with Shavuos. You know, and the truth is, there's also a very interesting concept that the Ramban, Nachmanides, writes in his commentary to the Bible. He writes the following thing. He says that the truth is, again, because of this connection between Pesach and Shavuos, he says the days in between Pesach and Shavuos, which we count the Omer that you reference, are actually, in a certain sense, they could be considered like a Chol HaMoed. Just like we have like a Chol HaMoed connecting, let's say, the first days of Pesach with the second days of Pesach, or the first days of Sukkot with the second days of Sukkot, says the Ramban, even the days between Pesach and Shavuos are also somewhat of a Chol HaMoed connecting Pesach and Shavuos because it's one long holiday. But just to explain what that means exactly, what is the bond, what is the connection between Pesach and Shavuos? So the truth is, we all know that what's the theme of Pesach? What's Pesach about? Pesach is about redemption, right? In Egypt, we were slaves. Our bodies were enslaved to the Egyptians. We weren't able to live as free people. And Pesach is a holiday of redemption. It's a time of cheres, of us becoming free. But the truth is, the true depth of what freedom means, true freedom really, really culminates and really becomes fully mature on Shavuos, when we receive the Torah. You see, there's a big misnomer or misconception that many people unfortunately make. They look at Torah, they look at religious life, as, you know, they look at the 613 mitzvahs as, God forbid, a prison, or God forbid, some sort of restraint on our physical life, that we're not able to do this. All of Torah in their eyes, unfortunately, it's not their fault, but unfortunately, their view of Torah is more of negative. Don't do this, don't do that. You can't do this, you can't do that. And that's a very unfortunate thing. In truth, the Torah itself, the mitzvahs, all the commandments that we have, there's no greater freedom. There's no greater freedom that a person can experience, other than connecting to Torah in a proper way. What's unique about Torah, what's unique about the mitzvahs that we have, is that they're instead of being restraints and prisons on a person's life, it's exactly the opposite. They are tools, they are channels that Hashem has given us in order to connect to Him in every single aspect of our seemingly mundane life. You see, before Torah, if a person doesn't have Torah, then when they go to work, for example, or they go to school and they're involved in business, then that remains a secular, non-eventful, uneventful, you know, insignificant aspect of life. But now when a person has Torah, when a person obeys the halacha and acts in business in a proper way, then what Torah does is it gives the person the ability to uplift and to saturate that aspect of his life, which until now was secular, which until now was meaningless and insignificant, but now through Torah one is able to saturate even that aspect of life with an unbelievable significance, an unbelievable level of Kedusha, unbelievable level of holiness. That's what's so special about Torah, what's so special about Judaism. See, every other religion, it's very sad, every other religion, in their perception of holiness, a holy person amongst the other religions means an aesthetic, means someone who, you know, who's chanting psalms on some mountaintop in the Himalayas. But when it comes to, in Judaism and Yiddishkeit, it's exactly the opposite. There's no one holier in, by us, than someone who's able to live in this physical world, who's able to get married and have children, who's able to go to work and deal with his, and have business ethics and talk nicely to friends and take out the garbage and do all the things that the average person does, but he does it in a deeper way. He does it in a significant way. He does it while thinking about Hashem. When a person does that, that's what Kedusha means. Kedusha, Torah mitzvah means the ability of uplifting and infusing holiness, infusing spirituality in physical life. That's what Torah mitzvah is about. That's what Shavuos is about. Pesach was the redemption, but true redemption is when we got the Torah, the ability to really uplift all physical life to a holy place, to a higher place. That's why, you know, there's something very significant. The Gemara tells us that there's a mitzvah of eating and drinking on every holiday, you know, whether it's Pesach and Sukkot. There's a mitzvah of being happy, of being, you know, of taking care of our bodies, of eating and drinking. The Gemara says that there's one holiday in particular where that mitzvah of eating and drinking is the most significant. And the Gemara says that Yontif is the Yontif of Shavuos. So of all the holidays, the holiday of Shavuos is unique in that there's a special mitzvah of eating and drinking and being happy with one's family. Because that's what Torah is about. Torah is not a prison. Torah is not, you know, a restraint. It doesn't hold the body back. It doesn't punish us. It doesn't push us down. It's exactly the opposite. It gives us the ability of tapping into ourselves in a deeper way. It gives us the ability of tapping into holiness and infusing holiness in even the lowest of places. You know, there's a story that, you know, I always love to say. It's one of my favorite stories. There's two holy brothers by the name of Rabbi Elimelech and Rabbi Zusha. There are two great Hasidic masters. They lived in the, late 1700s. So the story goes they were traveling, you know, in some foreign village that they weren't aware of the rules. And whatever it is that they were doing, maybe they jaywalked, I don't know what they did. And they got arrested and they were put into prison. So the story goes that while they were being held in their cell, Rabbi Zusha goes over to his brother Rabbi Elimelech and he starts complaining and he says, you know, my brother, what are we going to do? We didn't have a mincha yet. And the day is getting late. So Rabbi Melech turns to him and he says, okay, what's the problem? Let's daven where we are. So Rabbi Zusha said to him, my brother, we can't daven here because if you look in the corner of the room, instead of, it's maybe a little bit not nice to say, but there was no toilet there. It was just a bucket and people would, take care of themselves in that bucket. And the halacha is, according to Jewish law, one is not allowed to daven where there's refuse in the room. So Rav Zusha was complaining. He said, my brother, how could we, it's so sad, it's so unfortunate. Look at it. Look at our situation that we're stuck in this prison and we're not even able to daven to Hashem. So Rabbi Yimach turned to his brother and said the following thing, and these words are so important for us to remember. He said, my brother, what are you upset about? The same God who told you to daven, that same God right now is telling you not to daven. The same God who sometimes tells you to daven, right now he's telling you not to daven. So they started thinking about this concept that by not davening, they're actually serving Hashem. And they started to dance. Now, by their dancing, that caused a great commotion in the whole prison. And the warden heard what was going on. He comes over and he asks what's happening. And the people tell them that they don't know what's going on, but these two rabbis, they're dancing. So the warden asked the people, why are they dancing? And they said, we're not 100% certain why, but it's something to do with the bucket. They seem to be very excited about this bucket. So the warden said, you know, I'm going to show those two Jews. I'm going to show those rabbis. I'm going to get rid of that bucket. So he took the bucket away, and then they were able to daven. That's what Shavuos is. That's what Torah is about. Torah means the ability of us tapping into serving Hashem in all situations, not only when we're davening and not only when we're learning, but in all situations in life. If you tie your shoes in a proper way, that's a mitzvah. If you go to work and you're honest in business, that's a mitzvah. If you take out your garbage because your wife asked you to, that's a mitzvah. If you're talking to your friend and you say something complimentary, that's a mitzvah. That's what Torah is about. Torah is not bondage. It's not a prison. It's the exact opposite. It's the truest freedom of all. It gives us the ability of uplifting, of uplifting all physical life back to Hashem. And that's the greatest simcha that a Jew can have. The main focus of our avodah, the main service of Hashem that we could have on Shavuos is being happy that we're Jewish. That is the main thing that we could have. Because there's no greater simcha in life than that. Because being a Jew means the ability of connecting to Hashem on all levels, in all of our aspects, in all of our daily life. And that's the greatest simcha Jew can have. So Shavuos is an unbelievably significant time. And it really, as you said, it really is the culmination of that freedom that began with Pesach and matures and fully develops with us receiving the Torah and Shavuos. So it's an incredibly significant time.
Okay.
Incredibly significant.
All right, so what we're going to do now is, within that vein, the next subject I wanted to talk about, or I would like to have you talk about, is Megillas Rus as a perfect example, of somebody realizing that and coming to Judaism. But I figure what we'll do is first, before we go into that, we have here, we're going to take a music break. We have a CD here by a group called Kol Achai, and they have a song entitled Amech Ami, which is from the words of Megillas Rus. So I thought that would be a great segue, a great way to move into the next portion of the show. So we're going to take a music break. Everyone here is we're tuned into That's Life here on the stream live at NachumSiegel.com, and we're going to be right back after this song by Kol Achai.
אשר תלכי אלך, ובאשר תליני אני. כי אל אשר תלכי, אל אשר תלכי אלך, ובאשר תליני אני. עמך עמי ואלוקייך אלוקיי. עמך עמי עמך עמי ואלוקיך אל אשר תלכי אלך, ובאשר תליני אלי. אל אשר תלכי, אל אשר תלכי אלך, ובאשר תליני
That is Kol Achai, a beautiful tune, and you are tuned into That's Life here at the Nachum Segal Network. This is Executive Assistant Avrami sitting in for General Manager Miriam L. Wallach. I want to remind everybody to stay tuned when this show is done, because Randy Wartelski is bringing us something to talk about, talking about Jewish tech. Then there is a replay of Rivka Abbey hosting Charlie Harari on Teen Spirit. Then we have Eli Hagler in the OU Presents the Jewish Reaction. He'll be talking about the 27th annual Yachad Family Shabbaton. Then Spin Class, Politics with Michael Fragan. The Thursday Night Extravaganza, hosted by ZK, the engineer extraordinaire. Then we have The Stunt Show with Daniel Gordon, who will be hosting his identical twin brother, Aaron Gordon. Then we have The Book of Life, a new edition of The Book of Life with Charlie Harari. A replay of Teen Spirit, and then An Hour of Jewish Soul with Charlie Bernhout. And we are speaking right now with Rabbi Yossi Zakatinsky, affiliated with Hashivenu in Queens, and we're discussing the Yom Tov of Shavuos. We already discussed various aspects of the Yom Tov. We don't have, obviously, a lot of time today to be very extensive here, but I figured we'd get just a little bit of a taste to like whet everybody's appetite and get people sort of in the mode and in the mood, and then now after this, people can go and sort of look up the other things and go further on their own. So, Rabbi Zakatinsky, I was hoping now, you're still there, yes?
Yeah.
Oh, Baruch Hashem, all right. We haven't lost the line. That's wonderful news.
Not yet.
The people listening appreciate when that, you know, does not happen. And so I guess based on just that that segue song, I figured we could spend a few minutes just talking about Megillas Rus, maybe an insight as to why we read it on Shavuos, maybe something... just something that strikes you as powerful or interesting about it and so on.
Yes, sir. It would be my pleasure. See, that's also one of the unique things that we do on Shavuos, you know, is to read the Megillas Rus, which is, again, the story of Rus or Ruth, the, you know, who converted to Judaism and eventually would become the grandmother of David HaMelech and, you know, ultimately the grandmother of Mashiach Tzidkenu, of Mashiach himself. And the reason why we read that Megillah on Shavuos, the simple explanation is because it happens to be the yahrzeit or the anniversary of the death of David HaMelech was on Shavuos. He passed away. David HaMelech passed away on Shavuos. So to sort of remember that idea or that event, we read Megillah Shavuos, which is about the history or the genealogy of where David HaMelech is coming from. But the truth is, on a deeper level, what we see from Megillah Shavuos is something very significant. You know, Rus ends up becoming the grandmother of David, like as I said, the grandmother of Mashiach. But the truth is, she started from exceedingly humble beginnings. You know, she converted to Judaism, you know, which already means that you don't necessarily have a biological family in Israel amongst the Jewish people. There's going to be a sense of loneliness and a sense of maybe disattachment from the Jewish people. But nevertheless, because she saw the truth and she knew the truth in her, you know, through and through, she knew it, she felt it in her bones, that the Torah is true, the Jewish people are the truth, and that's what she wanted. So she was willing to sacrifice everything she had and she grew up with in order to connect to the Jewish people. You know, and that's something, and it's because of that mysterious nefesh, because of that self-sacrifice, that commitment to being truthful, to the truth, to, you know, to what she knew to be the purpose in her life, because of that self-sacrifice, she was worthy of becoming the grandmother of David HaMelech himself. And ultimately, the person we're all waiting for as Mashiach. So, you know, that's something that we could all really learn from. the ability, the strength that a Jewish person has within himself to push and to sacrifice and to do whatever he can to become the person he knows he can become. That's something we all have to listen to, and that's what Shavuot is about. It's about committing to serving Hashem, even if it might be difficult, even if it might sometimes come with some sort of obstacles. We have to have the belief in ourselves and the belief in Hashem that we have the strength to overcome all odds, and connect to Hashem and to become who we can become through Hashem. That's what's very significant. That's what speaks to me as it relates to the Megillas Rus.
Oh, very nice. Well, thank you very much. Is there any, I don't know, any like last word that you would like to say about Shavuos? Obviously you've already said so. Otherwise, I also wanted to discuss just for a minute, or to let people know, and you can let people know about Hashivenu, the organization that you are obviously very affiliated with, and maybe aside from letting you know a little bit about the organization itself, things you have coming up, things that you have regularly that people can take part in. And it's also just very interesting to know that I guess part of Hashivenu's part of what you guys do is helping people that I guess are on the road, we would say Baal Tshuva, or people that have converted and so on. So you guys are very much entrenched in the kind of work that, let's say, that Rus would have been dealing with in her time and making that transition easier. So,
yeah,
you know, but you can elaborate on that.
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly what it is. What Hashivenu basically is an organization that was started by my father and mother around 12 or 13 years ago. You see, my parents were involved in Kirov, or, you know, they were Kirov professionals, as you would call them, for many, many years. From the time that they were small children, they were involved in Kirov. You know, and they both taught in the major yeshivas in Israel, and that was their life. The truth is, about 13 years ago, they saw that there was a major gap. There was a major, missing a piece in the Kirov world process. What they saw was that, you have young people from the ages of 20 to around 35 that go to Israel, connect to yeshivas, become inspired about Yiddishkeit, become on fire with enthusiasm about serving Hashem and so on. And there are some, there is a minority that's able to remain in Israel and move there and make a life for themselves there. But the truth is, the overwhelming majority eventually have to come back to America. And the problem that my parents saw was that when they came back here, there really was no network, there was no structure for maintaining their spirituality and to help them grow in their path towards Yiddishkeit and their path towards committing to a halachic lifestyle. And that's something that they saw was a very, very big need. And so what they, because of that, they start Hashivenu. What Hashivenu basically is, we step in and we do what normally would be done by a family. And unfortunately, many of these people, even they might, have families, but the truth is, very often the families are antagonistic or, very upset about the commitment, the lifestyle changes that their children have made. Or even if they're not anti and they're maybe even sometimes positive, the truth is that there's going to be a distance, because at the end of the day, they're not living the same way that they've lived before, and they're not living the same way that their parents are living. So therefore, that creates a distance. So Hashivenu is there in order to fill those gaps, to fill those needs, whether it be job placement, whether it be finding a place to live, whether it be shidduchim, which is a major part in the development and growth of the person, whether it be shiurim, constant learning, whether it be Shabbos placement, knowing where you're going to be for Shabbos, which is also a very major aspect of Hashivenu. That's something that Hashivenu is for. Hashivenu is, when my parents have created what it is, it's an organization, but it's not really, when you say the word organization, that sort of conjures up in your mind's eye some sort of, very cold and, cerebral type of thing. Hashivenu is all about warmth. It's all about personal connection. It's about uplifting and helping each individual person connect to the Jewish community, to connect to the Jewish people, and to connect to Hashem in a healthy, organic way. That's what Hashivenu is for. So the truth is, a couple years ago, as part of Hashivenu, what we've started is actually a yeshiva morning program. So it's between 9:30 and 12:30, and we have guys learning. Again, not necessarily Baal Yeshuva. These are guys that were always from, technically, but again, they went to Israel when they were young, and they got inspired. So these are guys, in the early 20s, and they come and they go. And a person should know that everything Hashivenu does is for free. We don't charge anything, not for the yeshiva, not for shiurim, not for meeting shadchanim. Nothing. Everything is absolutely for free. Just like if a person needed help from his family would help him for free. That's what we do. Everything is for free. And the truth is, we just moved to a new location, and this shul is going to be the launch of our new base medrash. The location is, it's in Queens, it's based in Queens, it's 7041 Main Street. So it's right on Main Street, it's a great location, 7041 Main Street. And so Shavuos is going to be our launch, and we're going to have Shirim all night, we're going to have Minyanim, and it's going to be very nice. We're going to have, very good Kiddushes, you know, Jews like good Kiddush, and it's going to be very, very good. Some Milchik, some Fleishik will make everybody happy, and that's what Hashiveinu is about. It's just making Jews happy, reconnecting them with Hashem in a deeper way, and maintaining that connection in America. You know, for example, I growing up in my parents' home, I've seen this firsthand. I'll just give an example of things that they've done. I remember last year, there was a certain Hashiveinu woman who gave birth to, Baruch Hashem, she gave birth to baby boys, to twin boys, and she didn't have the means of making a bris. So, and it ended up being, was on Purim itself. So, on Purim, we had the bris in our house. We had Pesach Kohen come by, and he performed the bris, and it was a beautiful thing. I remember a couple years back, there was a couple that, the husband was Jewish, the woman was not, and she converted, so they needed to do a halachic marriage, and they couldn't necessarily afford to go to a whole wedding hall. So we had the kitchen, we had the wedding in our kitchen, we had the rabbis of the community come over, we played some music, we had the Sheva Brachas there, it was beautiful. And that's what Hashiveinu does. We basically step in and help out these individuals in whatever capacity they might need. So Hashiveinu is, again, it's the new base medrash is opening up, and we have shiurim going on there every day from 9:30 to 12:30. Anybody could stop in at any point and learn anything. You could stay for 10 minutes, you could stay for 3 hours, whatever you want, and it's open for the public. So it's 7041 on Main Street. You could also contact us at hashiveinu.org, where that's HASHEVAYNU, hashiveinu.org, O-R-G. And you could email us at hashiveinu4u, that's the number 4, the letter U, at gmail.com. And the number that you can call to reach us is 646-591-7025. That's 646-591-7025. And by the way, the Hashiveinu dinner video is actually a beautiful video, and it really captures the essence of what Hashiveinu is about. It's actually the featured video on yeshivaworld.com for the next couple of days. And you could also go to Hashiveinu Dinner 2013 on YouTube, and you'll be able to watch it. And again, please, people should feel free to contact us, to become involved, to help in any sort of way. It will be greatly, greatly appreciated.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Rabbi Yossi Zakatinsky, for joining us today here on That's Life. We are pretty much out of time. It was a pleasure. However means that I have that I can be in touch with you, it's a good thing. Thank you so much for joining us. This is going to be replayed again on Sunday morning from between 1 and 2. And it's going to be archived so people can check it out. Thank you for sharing the words about Shavuos, and it's been a pleasure. And we're going to be leaving today with Schlock Rock off of Schlock Rock Meets the Prophets with a song entitled Naomi, which is also about Nami as part of Megillas Rus. Stay tuned, everybody, and I want to just thank everyone for tuning in and wish everyone a wonderful Thursday, a wonderful Rosh Chodesh, a wonderful Shabbos, and stay tuned now because Randy Wartelski is up next with something to talk about, and check out the full schedule here at NachumSiegel.com, and as Miriam would say, that's life, and take care, everybody, and have a great one.
There's a report, a family went astray. Elimelech and sons left the Torah away. Wife Naomi watched them pass away. Naomi is alone, and there's a girl from this Moab town. She is Ruth, follows Naomi around. Said Naomi, don't have to stick around, go back to your own kind. And Ruth says, Naomi, this is my world. Naomi was bitter, and she felt ashamed. Ruth
wanted to glean the grain. Naomi told her to go. Boaz came on a special day during the shift. Saw Ruth's modest ways, so he said to her, in this field you'll stay. This will be your home. 'Cause Ruth said, Naomi, this is my world. Naomi.